Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter.com/Joy Keys, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. And also, I would love to hear from you. You can send me an email at SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@Hotmail.com. And I would suggest you follow me because, you know, my fans know I give away a lot of stuff, books, CDs, movie tickets, restaurants, dinners, all types of things. So you definitely want to follow at Joy Keys, and you want to become a fan on Facebook so you'd be the first to know what's happening, when, where, how, why type of thing. But this morning I'm speaking with this beautiful, talented young woman. Thank God she's here with us today. Really, thank God she's here. Like, can we knock on wood or whatever, you know, you're going to do the little dance or something. Because the title of her book is How to Die in Paris. But she didn't die. So you can take a breath and relax about that. She's here today. Notori Thomas, good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Thanks for having me on.
So, I mean, Sherry sent me this book. I want to give a shout-out to Sherry Rosen. She's a great publicist, and she connected me with Notori. And she sent me this book, and I said, huh? How to Die in Paris? I said, okay. And then it said a memoir. I said, oh, God, what the heck is this? I said, I don't want to read anything depressing, even though I do shows on all kinds of topics. And I have done shows dealing with suicide, and it is a very serious issue. But in Paris, of all places, I was like, oh, well, I want to read this because I want to take my daughter to Paris. So I was like, wow, I do want to read this and see what happens because, you know, maybe that's just a play on words. She's not really trying to die in Paris. But she was. You were. What the heck? In Paris? I mean, that's like dramatic flair, like, you know, diva thing. I don't want to die in New Jersey. I don't want to die in Texas. God forbid, you know, be lynched or something in Texas. I don't want to go to L.A. and be drugged out in a hotel like a star. I want to die in Paris. What? Come on, what prompted this in the story?
Okay. Well, first of all, I'd love to give a shout-out to Sherry Rosen, too, the best publicist in the universe. Okay, what prompted this? Well, I found myself at age 30 very unhappy with my life. I was unhappy with my relationships, my work situation where I was living. I was living in New Jersey, which is awesome, but it wasn't working for me at the time. And I was like, you know, I need to change, and I'm 30, and I've never left the country. So I decided to go to Italy and start a new life. At least that's how it was in my mind. But what I was really doing was trying to flee my old life. And, and escape the problems I wasn't dealing with and stuff. But, you know, that old saying, wherever you go, there you are. Things didn't work out.
Yeah. No, but Italy is beautiful. I went to Italy, as I was mentioning to you earlier, and let me tell you, the food was awesome. I don't know, did you have a wonderful time with the food?
oh, my God, just the pizza alone, and you haven't eaten pizza until you go to Italy. I mean, I know that sounds terrible. New York pizza is the best, but it's not Italian pizza. It's just, like, it's a different planet.
Well, it's also the food is fresh. I mean, you have to go to, like, one store to get the bread, and the meat is, you know, chopped fresh. People aren't... I mean, they do have supermarkets, and wait, I had a crazy experience in Italy. I went to the supermarket with my girlfriend, right? Okay, they don't eat breakfast over there. I don't know if you experienced that, too. Like, the breakfast thing is not big. But were there aisles and aisles of pasta? I was like, oh, my God, is this pasta heaven or what? I mean, pasta that I didn't even know existed, shapes, forms, fillings. I was just like, ah, you know?
Yeah, no, it's like carb heaven over there. But you know what I did notice, especially in the small towns, you know, the women, they make their own sauce and they're very proud of it. And so sometimes you would see younger women, you know, who are coming back from work, and they would have the jars of sauce, and the older women would sort of like look in their cars like tisk tisk. You know?
Snicker, snicker.
Not
like,
make your own. Yeah.
How dare you?
No sacrilege. Yeah, exactly. But no, Italy's gorgeous.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I want to read a little bit from your book here. This is the chapter called Alone. Again, I'm talking with Notori Thomas, How to Die in Paris. If you have a question for her, you can call in 646-929-0368. This is, being homeless is boring. Once you manage to satisfy all the bodily needs, snag yourself a cigarette, and realize the weather is not trying to kill you, there's nothing to do. You're too tired to enjoy the park. Words swim and blur on a page. What's playing at the movies? Oh, never mind. So you do two things. You watch. You watch the grand parade of life pass you by. trench coats and shiny shoes racing for the train, children on their way to school, knapsacks bouncing as they walk, lovers in cafes and skateboarders in the Bastille, and shop workers staring out the window. Cell phones and shopping bags and steaming paper cups. People have these things and don't seem to consider it a miracle. When you can't look anymore because it's all there just to hurt you, you think back. Sleeping late on a rainy morning, padding across the kitchen in your slippers to make tea, the smell of a book you've just bought. Sometimes you think of your friends and wonder what the heck it was you talked about that was so funny. You used to wait in line at the bank, and when it was your turn, they gave you money. You were always late for work, dinner, dates. We're constantly racing through the city streets, thinking of an excuse. I don't want to keep reading, but I just want to tell you, she was homeless in Paris. I mean, at that moment when you realized you ran, I think you were down to like 53 cents, and you couldn't even get to the Eiffel Tower to kill yourself. Talk about that a little bit.
Okay, so things didn't work out for me in Italy. I grew more and more depressed, and so I realized, there's no home to go back to. I didn't want to go back to my old life. I wasn't hacking it in Italy. And so I realized, I'm sick of being so miserable all the time. I'm just going to kill myself. But I wanted to see Paris before I died. And I was thinking of the reaction of my friends. I was thinking they would be like, well, she was in Europe for 3 months and she didn't go see Paris. She's crazy, So, So I decided to go to Paris and jump off the Eiffel Tower because I thought, how classy is that?
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely.
That's the way.
Well,
I mean,
that in the record books.
Yeah, of course. I mean, obviously, I wasn't thinking clearly at the time. And to highlight this, when I got to the Eiffel Tower, I remembered I was afraid of heights. So
yeah,
that wasn't great.
Yes, I read that. Yeah. I was like, this is. As I was reading, I was just like, God, please help her. Please, oh my, Buddha, somebody, what the. And I just kept thinking as I kept turning the page, please, don't let anything happen to her. Please don't let her get stabbed. Please, don't let her get raped. Oh my gosh, she's going to freeze to death. And you kept trying to freeze yourself to death. You kept trying. One of the scenes, you went out into the park and you said, I'm going to lay down in my tank top on the grass.
Yeah.
And what was going through your mind at that point? I mean,
So I found myself homeless. I hooked up with this guy, moved in with him briefly, and of course that didn't work out. And on top of that, I was kind of like brokenhearted. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to freeze to death and take sort of a passive approach because the active approach was not working. So I laid down in the park and I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to freeze to death just like I've seen on Little House on the Prairie. But I saw bats flying around in the sky, and I'm afraid of bats. So I just, I took a runner. I did a runner. I was like, I'm getting ready.
The funny thing is, as I guess you realize because you're here and you're talking with us, I mean, you weren't supposed to die in Paris. I mean, it wasn't your time. I mean, you needed to write this book. And, I want to mention that suicide is a very serious issue. We were up here laughing and joking and, making fun a little bit of what she was going through. But I just want to mention to people that, it is a very serious issue. And you may be near someone. You yourself might be dealing with the issue. There is help out there if you're feeling. There's a suicide prevention hotline, 1-800-273-TALK. Again, 1-800-273-TALK. The National Suicide Prevention Organization, their website is suicidepreventionlifeline.org. Again, suicidepreventionlifeline.org. Some of the warning signs for suicide, talking about doing it, looking for ways to kill yourself, talking about feeling hopeless, talking about feeling trapped, burdened by others, increased use of alcohol and drugs, acting anxious, behaving recklessly. I mean, definitely, Natori, you were behaving recklessly. You weren't sleeping. You didn't have drugs other than cigarettes was your drug, I would say, in the book. But let me read a little bit here just to give some context because it's really important. People are probably thinking, what? She went to where? To do what? And how much? What? That's so stupid, But let's get serious. There is a context of why this young woman was over there, and I just want to read this scene. This is How to Die in Paris by Natori Thomas. Her eyes were big, like a cartoon character's. I could feel her nails digging in my neck as she squeezed tighter than tighter still. I held onto her arms, terrified of what would happen if I let go. You bitch, you whore, you've been nothing but trouble since. Her words were drowned out by a sound like the ocean. Something was wrong. Of course, I'd seen people being choked on TV before by bad guys in black leather jackets. scary music would play in the background, and if you were eating potato chips, the pieces you've been chewing would turn to mush on the roof of your mouth. But mothers didn't choke. Mothers said things like, finish your orange juice. The vitamins are on the bottom. They put fresh clothes in the dryer when you came in from the rain so you'd be toasty and warm right away. My head bounced like a ping pong ball on the bed as my mother yelled, can he have anything he wants? Can he have anything he wants? My father and brother were trees planted behind her. Then the bigger tree pulled my mother away. So context, people, context. So you had a lot of drama growing up. I mean, you guys moved a lot. Your mom was, like, basically almost, agoraphobic? I think she didn't really leave the house. Except, I guess, you guys went on these trips, these escapades almost, I would say.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
No, I would say almost like escapades and these almost like scenes from a movie, it seemed like going out to get the Christmas tree. And time you guys were trying to do a movie in the car. And talk to me about this pain that you were carrying around and what kind of pushed you to go to Paris.
Well, at that point, I had stopped speaking to my parents for like 2 or 3 years. And so I thought after, like, you know, really, really, really trying to get along with them and talk things out and stuff. And I was like, so I cut them out of my life and I figured, okay, done. Now I'm fine. And I just closed my mind to everything that had happened to me. I didn't want to deal with it, which is one of the reasons that led me there. And it was hard for me because my life wasn't some kind of like, my childhood wasn't some kind of like endless saga of Dickensian like deprivation and abuse. I mean, there were times when it was really, really hard and terrible and scary to live at my house. And there were times when we had a lot of fun. Like, we read a lot, we laughed a lot, we played games around the kitchen table. And so it was really hard to reconcile that in my head. You know, like heaven and hell existing on the same plane, pretty much.
Yeah.
And,
I think that's the issue
shut
that
it
people
out.
Don't realize. Yeah, people don't, maybe people who live whatever a normal life is, and I don't think anybody has a completely normal, I mean, maybe better or worse, but when someone's being abused or hurt emotionally, physically, sexually, whatever, the person, the abuse is not always bad. And unfortunately, especially maybe when it's a parent or a caretaker that's the abuser, I mean, in my studies, that is a problem. You can't reconcile because there were positive times, times when they gave you gifts, times when they held you, maybe they told you they loved you, times when they, you know, braided your hair, took you out, got you ice cream, you know, touched you in the bed.
Yeah.
You know, there are positive moments. So people will say, well, why didn't you leave early? Why didn't you tell somebody? Because there are scenes in the book where I think one day you went on a trip, some overnight trip, you were away for a couple of days, and you finally realized you hadn't been crying. Talk about that scene a little bit. Yeah.
Oh, I'd gone away with a teacher of mine and her family. She had adopted a lot of mixed-race children. And she took an interest in me, and I went off with them. And it was my first time. It was my first time in the country because we lived in a pretty run-down urban neighborhood. And it was so much fun running through the field and riding bikes and stuff. And I asked my teacher one night, how long have we been here? And she was like, I forget what she said, like 4 or 5 days. And then I was like, oh, well, then it's been 5 days since I cried. Because I used to cry every day at home. But you know, just piggybacking on what you said, another problem is that if you grow up in an abusive house, it gets normalized. You think everyone has to go through that.
Right, and I think something that you came to when you started, because isolation too, in the book you talk about not really being able to go places, and then people not coming to your house. So you didn't have, in a sense, contact with the outside world. I mean, that's another form of abuse, control. Isolation, those are all key words when you talk about abuse. And so as a child, you're powerless. You don't have the ability to just run out. I mean, some kids do run away and escape, so to speak, but you don't have that power. So when you get older, I guess, and you get out in the world, then you start seeing like, oh, wait, you didn't, nobody told you and they didn't call you a bit, what? Oh, like, you know, you didn't have this realization. I talk to my daughter about that a lot. I was like, when you go to college, you're going to meet, like, all kinds of people all over the world. They did not have the same upbringing. And they're going to be doing things that you're going to think are strange. Now, some things strange are okay, but some things strange are not okay, you know, and those people you need to stay away from. Yeah, and other people you can still be friends. Let them, you know, peel the orange the way they want to peel the orange, and you peel the orange the way you want to do it. And then there's some people who, like, stab the orange. You might want to run the other direction, you know. So... But let's get a little further along in the story. you're trying to be a champion. I was mentioning to you earlier, I thought some funny lines in there. You were like talking about being like Nike and let's just do this suicide. You know, let's stop being a wimp about it and just do it. I mean, that sounds kind of crack funny, but this is a line from the book, and that's why you want to pick up a copy of the book, How to Die in Paris. I'm going to give away a copy of your book. So you guys want to follow me on Twitter, @JoyKeys, or become a fan on Facebook. Follow Natori. She's on Twitter also, @NatoriThomas on Twitter, and her website is howtodieinparis.com. But talk to me about this moment when you realized you need to be a champion, that you were being a wimp about trying to commit suicide.
Well, it just seemed like, you know, I'm very, like, results-oriented. It just seemed like I just wasn't pulling it off, you know. It was like people, like, you know. And, I mean, of course, that's the skewed way a depressed person thinks, you know.
Yeah.
I just felt like, you know, I can't even do this right, you know.
So now, talk about Asad. I want to see Asad because he sounded gorgeous. You did meet this gorgeous guy that you stayed with for about 2 weeks. And it was hard, again, for me to digest. What is she – I kept – reading, because you would get snippets of the context of your growing up and why, you know, possibly you're behaving that way, but I kept being like, well, why didn't she go to the church, or why didn't she go to a shelter? What is she doing with this? And like, does she really think that something's going to happen? You know, it was very hard. I had to step back, you know, and again, go back to everybody doesn't have the life you have. Everybody doesn't think the way you do. And why is she thinking context? Again, I just want to keep saying that word. Why you were making the choices and the people you were connecting with. But talk about Asad a little bit when you met Asad and that situation.
Okay. I forget how long I had been out there, but I was becoming, it wasn't safe for me as a woman to, like, sleep anywhere, you know, like you see people sleeping on the streets, and I wouldn't have wanted to do that anyway, because it just wasn't me. So I was walking around all night long, and I couldn't even sit anywhere, because like some like random sleazy guy would come up to me, and it's like you don't see that random sleazy guy like during the middle of the day, but they just like, it's like they go out at night, like looking for like, it's like they have a club or something. So I would just walk and walk and walk. I had no sleep. I had no food. And I was becoming delirious. So I'm like, okay, I just have to, if I get some sleep, if I get indoors, I'll be able to get my head straight. And so I started talking to this guy who was not Asad, very unattractive, but he was interested. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to go home with this guy. And the whole thing was like making me sick. I was supposed to meet him hours later. So I went to Pompidou, the very famous library in Paris, to wait for him. And I met Asad. I bummed a cigarette off of him. And he gave me his own cigarette. And he was just so gorgeous and so cute and so sweet. And I was like, wow, I wish, you know, my life were straight so I could, like, you know, go out with this guy, because we exchanged numbers and everything. And then when it was time for me to meet, you know, Mr. Unattractive, I bumped into Asad. And he was like, you know, what are you doing? And I was like, you know, I told him the truth. I was like, I have nowhere to go. And he's like, well, come stay with me. So I was like, okay. And So you know, delicate little flower that I am, I just went right home with this guy. But, and by the way, I don't do that in my everyday life. So I just want to make that clear.
So if there's any guys out there thinking she's going to go home with you, just forget it. Yeah, she's still cute and she's still beautiful, but she's not going home with you. Sorry, she's past that point right now. So. But seriously, though, I mean, the context is you were desperate, and like you said, you were delirious. You weren't eating. You weren't sleeping. Again, I want to mention for people who are listening, we're talking with author Natori Thomas about her book, How to Die in Paris. You can check out her website, howtodieinparis.com. You can follow her on Twitter, @NatoriThomas. But one of the issues she was dealing with in the book was trying to commit suicide, and I want to mention that there's a suicide hotline, 1-800-273-TALK. So if you are dealing with this issue, or you know someone who's dealing with the issue, you can call that number, and they will help you there. And also just for friends, people you think might be thinking about it or showing or acting out, they might be, you know, behaving recklessly, sleeping too little, withdrawing, isolating themselves, or be very angry, talking about revenge, a lot of mood swings. These are some signs. You want to give them the 1-800 number, 1-800-273-TALK. But Natori, actually, you know, it's funny, you're an author and you wrote this book, but I'm thinking you need to do comedy, because you have such a wit in the book. One of the things I mentioned earlier was about God being a control freak. Talk to the audience about that.
Oh, I just felt like, well, I talked to God like the whole time in the book. I was like, you know, you got to help me out here. And And it's like everything
I
did.
Do you have to help me out to commit suicide? I mean, really, you know, but go ahead.
I just felt like if I had made a plan, I need a little help, you know? Just like when I go shopping, I'm like, you know, I say, hey, you know, please lead me to some sales. You know, but I don't just talk to God to ask for help. You know, I always try to be grateful for everything I have. But,
He was blocking your way.
I was like, come on. It, because things would happen. I would be almost, I felt, on the point of what I thought at the time was success, and some random thing would happen, and it felt like it was on purpose, and it probably was, and of course I'm grateful now that, you know, God's a control freak, so.
crazy, but let's talk about what's going on now in your life. You've written this book, and are you still in living in Notting Hill and trying to get your master's?
Yeah, both. Yep. London is great, and I'm really enjoying it here. I miss New York, but because I mean New York is like the center of the universe for me. But right now I'm loving London. It's a fun town.
So if I come try to die in London, can I get a place to stay to crash my head?
You can totally crash. I live in a studio.
I can sleep well, as long as there's like four walls and like, you know, warm water. I think I would be okay. Yeah.
I've definitely got the four wall. Yeah, I got that now. So, yeah, come to London. I'll show you around.
Yeah, actually, I want to take my daughter over there. I'm really into traveling and letting her see the world. And one of the things I think that's so important for young people to see the world is because, again, context. You know, you're walking around in your little bubble thinking, you know, I think this way, everybody thinks this way. Everybody doesn't think this way. They don't eat this way. They don't walk this way. They don't talk this way. You know, they don't fold their clothes this way. So I think it's good to get out and travel and see the world and, again, context, you know, because geography affects how people behave. You know, the weather affects how people behave. Landscapes affect how people behave. So, you know, you're living in an urban city, you know, you're behaving a certain way, but you get out in the country, you get out in snow, you get out in rain, and, you know, say you go to Seattle, it's just a different life. So it's important to travel. I would suggest it to everyone. But so what's next after you get your master's degree? What do you think you're going to be doing in a couple of years?
I plan to keep writing. I have a few things in the works right now. I have a novel that I'm polishing up. I'm going to get it out there, and once I get my master's, I also hope to teach. Because I love working with writers and being around writers. A lot of my friends are writers, and I would love to like help, because writing has given me so much that I would love to be able to help foster any kind of talent that any future students of mine would have, you know.
So what's one of the couple? Let's do the three tips you can give writers to try to help them finish a book. What's the three things they should do?
Oh no, not tips. okay. Well, first of all, people say write what you know, but that doesn't mean that a book should be like a blog post. It's got to be interesting, you know.
Yeah.
And I think the way you can tap into that is write what you're passionate about.
Mm.
So if you don't exactly know something, then you learn about it, immerse yourself in that world. The other thing, like your characters, they don't have to be good, they don't have to be bad, but they have to be interesting enough so that the reader wants to find out what happened to them. And I feel like you have to love your characters. You have to love your characters, even, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it can't be flat. They have to be multidimensional. They have to have, even if you don't mention what, like, you know, the guy has a limp, there has to be something there, like you said, to draw the reader in. And definitely for me with your book, I said I was annoyed, but I was like, I had to keep reading to find out what was going on. And let me tell you, people, there is a lot more to the book. We haven't discussed it. So you're going to have to pick up a copy to find out, you know, the rest of what's going on. But, Notori, thank you so much for coming on this morning.
Oh, hey, thanks for having me, Joy. This was a lot of fun.
I'm glad. And remember, like, if I come to London, I want to sleep on that floor with the four walls.
I have a sleeping bag for you. It's Hello Kitty. I hope you don't mind.
Oh, Hello Kitty. Oh, my God. Okay, so... Anyway, thank you so much. Follow Notori on Twitter, Notori Thomas. Also check out our website, howtodieinparis.com. Thank you so much, Notori, for coming on. You have a wonderful Saturday.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Follow her again on Twitter, Notori Thomas, and check her out, her website, howtodieinparis.com. Stay tuned, stay tuned. Red Tail star Marcus Paul coming on in about 5 minutes. You want to stay tuned, the caller number is 646-929-0368. You can follow me on Twitter.com/JoyKeys, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Have a wonderful Saturday. But 5 minutes from now, Red Tail star Marcus Paul